All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm glad you're with me. I could be out with your kids, trick-or-treating or whatever, but I'm glad you're here with me tonight. All right, let's get on with this. Let's see how to everybody in the chat. Chat is moving along here. Guitar Glenn is on. 2460, Granite 2468 is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Auntie Mama's on. JGCK is on. Let me see. Hefner is on. JD Joy 25 is on. JBC 2020 is on. Sexy Pony is on. Conservative Warrior 65 is on. Nitsua 99, Love You Right Back, is on. Enjoins 127 is on. Skunk 71 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Golf Master 1 is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Scrolling down. Mike Griffith is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Let me see here. Let me get somebody. Robin Aroni is on. Johnny F62 is on. Ever Eden is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Ever Eden is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. E. Marcus is on. Jim Brody's on. K4 VMS is on. Luann 5 is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. Mojave Jeep JT is on. Let me grab a couple more here. Jules, 21 hours already in the what is it?
Rant.
I had rant in my mind, but chat and rant. Okay, there we go.
The chant.
Yeah, there we go. The chant. And I just locked myself off of Rumble somehow. Oh man, I'm way off. Let me get back. I'm getting back to the chat here. Hold on. What the heck happened? What happened?
Friday night special.
Friday night Halloween short show. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Those Jesus People is on. Peg McGroin is on. Milwaukee James is on. Uncle Wally's on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. I'm going to start off with a little bit of a long video. It's about a 3-minute video from Rogan and Elon. Elon did an interview with Rogan. I found it very, very scintillating. I wish Elon was still part of the Trump administration. I'm still holding out hopes that again that he'll return to be part of the Trump administration, because this interview is revealing, it's scintillating, it's deep. And this really reveals, as we get into, I'm going to start off talking about the shutdown tonight. I believe we're on day 31 of the shutdown, I think. I mean, it's October 31st. That doesn't sound right, but Aaron will find it for me.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Something like that. But anyway, hey, Laura Jean Lynn, hi, back to you. Tim L. T-Bird, yeah, I'm tech challenged, man. Like, I hit one thing, and then I'm blessed because Aaron didn't have to walk over on camera and fix it for me. But anyway, yeah, we are on day 31. Yep. It's weird. So I guess it started October 1st.
Yep.
So anyway, so day 31 of the shutdown. This really, Elon, and now let's put this into perspective now. Elon, remember, was in charge of Doge, Department of Government Efficiency. Remember that. And he was, and it was real. I mean, Doge is still happening and some good things are still happening, but it was really, really cooking when Elon was there. And he got to see the open book. So if you really want to know why the shutdown is happening, here is the reason why it's happening. MJ Truth Ultra Video. Play for me.
That's what was happening. They were also giving out like debit cards with $10,000. So it's not just about medical care.
Yeah.
The Democrats mentioned the medical care because they're trying to prey on people's empathy as much as possible. And then they imagine, oh, wow, somebody has a desperately needed medical procedure. And shouldn't we maybe take care of them in that regard? But what they do is they divert the Medicaid funds and turn it into a slush fund for the states that goes well beyond emergency medical care.
And
New York and California would be bankrupt without the massive fraudulent federal payments that go to those states to pay for illegals, to create a massive financial incentive for illegals.
How would they be bankrupt because of that?
They wouldn't be able to balance their state budgets, and they can't issue currency like the Federal Reserve can.
And so their ability to balance budget is dependent upon illegals getting funding?
The scam level here is so staggering. So there are hundreds of billions of dollars of transfer payments from the federal government to the states. Those transfer payments, the states self-report what those transfer payment numbers should be. So California and New York and Illinois lie like crazy and say that these are all legitimate payments. Well, these days, I think they're even admitting that they literally want hundreds of billions of dollars for illegals. But for a while there, they're trying to deny it. So you get these transfer payments for every government program you can possibly think of. And these are self-reported by the state, and they're and at least historically there was no enforcement of California, New York, Illinois, and other states when they would lie. There was no actual enforcement to say like, hey, you're lying. These payments are fraudulent. Now under the Trump administration, the Trump administration does not want to send hundreds of billions of dollars of fraudulent payments to the states. The reason you have the standoff is because if the hundreds of billions of dollars to create a financial incentive to like to have this giant magnet to attract illegals from every part of Earth to these states, if that is turned off, the illegals will leave because they are no longer being paid to come to the United States and stay here.
Wow.
And then they will lose a lot of voters. The Democratic Party will lose a lot of voters.
And they would have a very difficult job if this is kicked out of reintroducing it into a new bill.
Yes.
Especially once things start normalizing.
Yes. So, like, in a nutshell, the Democratic Party wants to destroy democracy by importing voters. And the Republican Party disagrees with
and
that.
And the ruse is that if you don't accept what they're doing, then you're a threat to democracy.
Yes.
As they try to destroy democracy.
Yes.
By importing voters.
That is literally what they're doing.
And incentivizing people to only vote for them and overwhelming the system.
Yes. And by the way, it's a strategy that, if allowed to work, would work. And in fact, has worked. California is a supermajority Democrat.
Yeah.
And there's so much gerrymandering that occurs. It's crazy.
All right, so everybody get this now. So the reason why there is a government shutdown right now is so that Democrats can fund their own re-elections, so that they can fund their own personal enrichment, their own personal prosperity, their own personal finances. How do they do these things? We've already gone through the NGO stuff because a lot of this money goes through NGOs. A lot of Democrats are hired by Catholic Family Services, by Jewish Family Services, which facilitated every illegal, and that's hyperbolic slightly, every illegal who crossed the southern border under the Biden administration, somewhere between 15 and 30 million people. Democrat lawyers are being paid through that money. Democratic staffers are being paid. Those are solely staffed by Democrats. That's one way that they do it. The other way to do it is direct actual cash, federal taxpayer money sent to the states. How does this work? And we're told that this is all for Medicaid for illegals. So get the depths of this thing. You know, just like Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Understand the depths of depravity here with the Democratic Party. These people are absolutely repulsive. So they tell you that there's no Medicaid going to illegals. And we already know, if you watch the show all the time, I've already documented it. They just do the Potomac two-step. They do the obfuscation. They do the plausible deniability, which is not plausible nor deniable. But anyway, they'll say, well, no, not $1, not one federal dollar ever went into the hands of an illegal for medical services. Well, no, it went into Medi-Cal. It went into an NGO. It went into, you know, the state Medicare, and that went into the hands of illegals. The state Medicaid is funded by federal Medicaid almost exclusively. So anyway, and then while they're doing this, they classify things. You know, again, it gets very, very deep. It gets very, very murky in all of this, and that's what the Democrats want. It gets very murky because everything is hidden under the moniker of Medicaid, the very Medicaid they say they're not getting. Understand what I mean by that. It's the state Medicaid. You have federal Medicaid, which funds the state Medicaid or state Medicare, and they always rename it something like Illinois Cares, Medi-Cal, whatever. That's all federally funded. And then what they do is classify numerous other things as Medicare that isn't, i.e. $10,000 debit cards given to illegals. You and I want to congratulate Brent. I want to congratulate Aaron. I want to congratulate myself and everybody watching that you and I got to, our taxpayers went to $10,000 debit cards to reward people illegally crossing our border in the name of democracy. I just want everybody to know that. So it's just diverted. It's all diverted Medicaid funds. So Democrats, understand their levels of repulsive depravity. They all know this. This entire shutdown is about them hiding this, making sure that it's refunded, and adding $1.3 trillion to it. Remember now, and again, I don't like bashing Trump because I love Trump. I'd vote for him again in 2028 if he ran. I'm just saying that there's some things that are not good. The big, beautiful bill has some great things to it, but it's not great. It continues spending at the Biden levels. And here's the thing. We have to cut spending. The Democrats want to add. Remember now, the big, beautiful bill in fiscal year 2025, 2026, October through October, adds $2 to $2.3 trillion to our debt. So the debt clock right now says that we are $38 trillion in debt. Remember, 25 years ago to the day, we were less than $1 trillion in debt. And now we are $38 trillion in debt. You add George W. Bush, add $9 trillion. Hussein Obama, $11 trillion. Trump, because of COVID, another $8 billion. And the rest was on Biden's shoulders in 4 years. So there's not a matter of, do we need to cut? Or this segment of society will suffer if this is cut. There won't be any society if it's not cut. There won't be anything to be concerned about other than making sure that you're the warlord of your street if this is not cut. I mean, if we don't start cutting things, because if all the people decided right now to collect their debts worldwide, we're done. That is the way that $38 trillion of debt, China holds a big piece of it, Japan holds a big piece of it, whatever. But anyway, so Democrats, the big, beautiful bill adds $2 trillion worth of debt. That's not good enough. They want to add $3.3 trillion to the debt so they can continue spending money on illegals, Medicaid. But it's not just that. Everything's a siphoning process. So things that are actually, it's like Hussein Obama's presidential library. Remember now, Hussein hasn't been in office since what? January of 2017. And his presidential library museum still hasn't been built. And they've had like $100 million come in. It's going to cost another $200-300 million, whatever it is. Does anybody actually believe that's all gone to that? No, it's just been siphoned off to other. I don't want to make things sound better than they are, because it'll be like the other Democratic Party nonprofits or other Democratic Party programs or whatever it is. It's not that. It's gone into the pockets of Democratic Party politicians and those who support Democratic Party politicians. It's gone into their pockets. It really is all about, I mean, the Bible is always right. It's always right. It really is all about personal enrichment. The reason why Hussein Obama was president of the United States was to enrich himself. That's why Biden was president. And it's a lot of it's sadomasochistic, perverted power also. But the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. 1 Timothy 6:10 and 11. So that's what it's really all about. There is no altruistic, benevolent motives with any Democrat when it comes to these Medicaid, this Medicaid Schumer shutdown. And again, they're lying from the very onset, where they say, we're not trying to get Medicaid for illegals. We're trying to get Medicaid for Americans. All Americans who don't have insurance are already covered. And listen, I know that our medical system certainly isn't perfect, but I was involved in emergent care for many, many years as a cop right here where I'm sitting right now. 1992, 2017, 25 years. And I never saw one person ever get turned away from the emergency room, ever. And I mean, I've dealt with bringing the dregs into the emergency room and seeing the dregs of society in the emergency room. And they were never turned down, not one time, in 25 years and one day. That was my law enforcement career. So I know. And so, I mean, believe me, I know a lot of you that are watching probably have been ripped off by insurance companies and everything else, and certainly isn't perfect. And there's a lot of myths and malfeasance in the medical industry. I understand that. But bottom line is, any American in the United States, and sadly any illegal, can walk in and get emergency services, which is another clandestine cover-up of the Democratic Party, is that they actually call a lot of things emergent services that aren't, that are going to illegals, so that it's covered by Medi-Cal, which is covered by, or Medicare Illinois, which is all your taxpayer dollars, then funneled into the state system so Democrats can say that Medicaid never has once paid a single dollar to any illegal. It's all lies. It's all, it's just like they say, no, there's not one illegal on welfare. No, they're on a different program called, just being facetious, Farewell. But they call it something else. It still is it's still welfare though. But in New York and California, Elon Musk, and remember now, Elon Musk is talking in this video and he saw all this. There's no conjecture here. I mean, there's no question about what he's, there's nothing refutable here. There's nothing. He saw the books and he knows New York and California would be bankrupt without Medicaid for illegals. But and you'll have Pritzker and Gavin Newsom say that they don't give Medicaid to illegals. No, that goes into their state funds, then goes to illegals. That's how disingenuous and nasty and repulsive these people are. And now how would they be bankrupt? Because all this money gets spent on healthcare. How would that help the state balance its budgets? Because it doesn't go to healthcare. It's all a giant fraud. $38 trillion in debt. At least if we had actually spent it on tangible items, that would be one thing. I'd still be against it. But that would be one thing. It's all enriching Democrats. This does not go, even again, just think of the depths of this lie. First of all, they say that none of the money goes to illegals. But what they do is actually fund themselves. It goes into state NGOs. It goes into their pockets. It goes into lawyers, Democratic Party lawyers. It goes to all the different law firms that you see, whether it's Eisen or whether it's Mark Elias and Perkins Coie, whatever it is, that's where it all goes. And you and I pay for our own political opponents. You and I pay for our own political prosecution and persecution. And these states self-report the needs that they have. So there's no accountability. They say, here's what we need. And according to Elon Musk, remember, the head of DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, he's seen the books opened. He's seen the books open. And he says that they self-report these transfer payments and every one of their needs is a lie. Every one of their needs is lies. And it's hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud. You and I would spend the rest of our lives, I mean, you think about it. You ever see these finance crimes? I mean, depending on the amount of them, people spend the rest of their life, whether, you know, I can't think of anybody right now. But anyway, throughout all the, you know, the Netflix documentaries and whatever that I've watched, the people that go, like Bernie Madoff or whatever, he goes to prison for the rest of his life for stealing millions of dollars. Well, that's what these Democrats are doing. I mean, whenever Gavin Newsom, it's just like Letitia James and Adam Schiff signing their fraudulent documents about their mortgages. You and I go to prison for that. These Democrats are lying. This is fraud. And they're using it to enrich their friends. It would be bad enough if it was going to illegals and it was paying for their orthopedic surgery because they had a blown ACL. That'd be one thing. And I'd still be against it. You need to go home. But I'm saying that this isn't happening. They're actually lining their own pockets with it. That's what's going on. They're funding the people that fund them. That's how it works. Gavin Newsom, I guarantee you, diverts this money to various institutions that pay his wife. I guarantee it. And pay his friends and go into campaign coffers. Now, they do this now. So they bring all of these billions of dollars, and some of it does get spent. You know, there's big chunks of it that get spent on illegals. They do this so that they are a magnet, quoting Elon Musk here, for worldwide migration. So the illegals know. Notice how they don't really migrate to certain states. I mean, they do to some extent, depending on job opportunities, but they migrate to states with Medi-Cal, with health insurance, Illinois, whatever they call it, because they all go on the welfare / Medicaid dole. And this is all on purpose as the states self-report their needs. So they say they need $100 billion and they actually need $100 million. That's it. That's what they do. And then they can offer all of these benefits to their provisional, to their future voters. So they all move there and get counted on the census, which adds a seat or two to their seats in Congress. So they win elections that way. And as Joe Rogan said, if you actually oppose this, they'll call you a threat to democracy. So the people who are destroying democracy, if you oppose what they are doing, they'll call you a threat to democracy, the ultimate in projection. This is why there is a shutdown. This is it, because Democrats want to continue this process, and not only continue the process, they want to enlarge the process by $1.3 trillion. And a very valid point that Joe Rogan made that Elon Musk confirmed was, if they don't do it now, they'll have a very difficult time introducing this legislation in at a later day. So they shut down the government now, knowing that Trump's already spending at debt and deficit levels. Well, who's going to notice another $1.3 trillion? I notice. So that's the reason why there is actually a shutdown. I just want everybody to know that. Let's go to the Gateway Pundit. So pick from the Gateway Pundit, breaking Obama judge, kind of the title of the show tonight. And another judge has arisen to usurp power from the executive branch. I believe, Aaron, you correct me if I'm wrong, aren't there three distinct branches of government?
Yeah.
There's three distinct, right? Yeah. And they don't have power over the other.
Right.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I was correct on that. Because obviously you have three distinct, you have the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary, and none of them have power over each other. They're called separate and distinct. That's what they are. They don't have power over each other. They are to affirm each other and conflict with one another, but they do not have power. So we think, and we've been conditioned, and we've been brainwashed, and we've been Stockholm syndromed into believing that whenever a judge hammers his gavel down, that he's actually the most powerful. He's not. The three branches have equal powers. So a judge cannot subvert the administrative branch. And it keeps happening with Democrats. But the good thing is that whether it's the appellate court or the Supreme Court itself, the ultimate appellate court, keeps overturning these judges. But anyway, another Obama judge orders Trump. Now let's ask this question. Does this man, pictured man, have, and again, another effeminate man, as always, does this man have the power to order President Trump to do anything? Absolutely not. It doesn't matter whether he's a judge. It doesn't matter whether he's issued a ruling. He doesn't have the power to do any of this. He is not part of the executive branch. SNAP is under the executive branch. It's transferred to the executive to be run by the executive after it's passed by the House and Senate. That's it. And there's a shutdown, so SNAP gets shut down. That's it. There's no money for SNAP. And who out there wants everybody on SNAP to get their money? Not me. That's just another giant Ponzi scheme for Democrats to buy voters. You know, you'll vote for us because we're going to continue to pay you to vote for us via SNAP. Well, I don't want to pay anymore so that Democrats can enrich themselves. And big chunks of that money, SNAP money, goes to the organizations that dispense the SNAP money and pay themselves hundreds of millions of dollars to dispense millions of dollars. That's what they do. So here's the article from the Gateway Pundit. Pretty wonky, but I hope you aren't bored by this. But for me, all of it and understanding all of it is vitally important. The federal judge ordered the Trump administration, which it's absolute right there. It's not treason, but it's actually sedition. They don't have the ability to order the Trump administration to continue paying SNAP benefits amid the government shutdown, which Trump isn't going to do. Today is day 31 of the Schumer shutdown, and the funds for food stamp benefits were set to begin drying up on November 1st. Everyone thinks that tomorrow it's over. Now, no more money's being added to it now. This is the abomination. You want to talk about the abomination. More than 40 million Americans. Now, I'm sitting in the room right now with two other guys. Not one of us has ever been on food stamps.
No.
You know why? Because not one of us has ever not worked. We're always working, whether it was labor, whether it was office. Brent and I were both cops. Whatever it is, we have all worked. Brent and I probably did physical labor while we were cops and did physical labor on the side. So the thing is, all of us have always worked. All of us have. So we don't even understand this. Explain to me, are there 40 million physically disabled Americans that have to have SNAP? No. There isn't even a million. And let's be nice tonight, shall we? You know how I love to be nice. And that's really everyone around me. They're always saying, boy, that Tommy's nice.
One of the nicest.
Yeah, that never happens. But anyway, I'm never accused of being too nice. But anyway, let's just, but I'm going to be nice right now. Let's pretend like 10 million needed it. 25%, which is bull crap. But I'm just saying, all right, but 40, it's actually 42 million. 42 million Americans need to have their food paid for by Brent. Oh. I'm just curious, really? 42 million? And, you know, I'll hearken, I'll use Brent tonight. Brent, you can chime in if you want. Because he worked in a very urban setting, Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, you saw a lot of people on Snap.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So you saw a lot of people on Snap. Did they need it?
No.
There you go. Could they have, could they be working?
Yeah.
And could the women keep their legs closed and actually have less children?
That's where I was going. And they're driving around in BMWs and, and all this other.
Did they often have a better cell phone than you?
Yeah.
And a better car than you?
They had a couple cell phones.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know why? Because they sell their food stamps. I don't know what they called it specifically. Their Snap stamps, whatever you call it. I'll just call it food stamps. They actually sell them. More than 40 million Americans rely on SNAP. They don't rely on SNAP benefits. They are spoiled, rotten people who refuse to work who are on SNAP benefits. They don't rely on them. They choose to rely on them. They're not dependent on them. They choose to be dependent on them. On SNAP benefits, I'm dependent on oxygen. I'm dependent on oxygen. They're not dependent on it. They could all work. And you know what all of us have also done? Basically, everybody watching this podcast right now because everybody's red-pilled. We've all probably worked extra jobs. Mm-hmm. And you're not making it. You know what you do? You work more. And I've already talked about this before. But there was, I can't remember what years it was, whether it was 08 or 09 or whether it was 07, 08. I don't remember. But I worked two straight years without a single day off. Not one day off. Not one. You're like, Tom, you're being hyperbolic. No, I'm not being hyperbolic. And a lot of those days for me, it was me working my 8 to 10 at the sheriff's office, 8 to 10 hours at the sheriff's office, and then working special details at night. And that one day off, and a lot of those days were 14, 15, 16, 17-hour days. I remember working one full day, going and working a detail that night, which was hours and hours long, till 4 o'clock in the morning, drove home, got home at 5, slept for 1 hour, got up at 6 to go direct traffic for 4 hours the next day. And these people, you're going to cry to me about how you need your Twinkies on Snap so you can actually get fatter than you already are? Snap, I mean, sugar washed down with sugar wrapped in sugar? No, thank you. All right, unions and nonprofit groups, get this now, filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Agriculture earlier this week ahead of the November 1st cutoff. U.S. District Judge John McConnell, there he is, an Obama appointee, what a shock, ordered Trump, a district judge ordering the president of the United States. He does not have the power. Trump is doing the right thing for political expediency so that it doesn't give the Democrats a talking point that he's blowing off court rulings. But he could very easily blow this off. What's the judge going to do? Send what police after him to enforce his edicts? Everybody ever think like that? What's this? If Trump said, you know what? He just said, you know what? Go pound sand. Give me a go pound sand, Aaron and Trump.
Go pound sand.
Go, tell us to go pound sand.
You loser.
You're a loser. What's this guy going to do? Dispatch his court police? He doesn't have any police. He has no enforcement wing. Trump can do whatever he wants to do because this guy does not have power over Trump. CNBC reported a federal judge in Rhode Island, another judge on Friday, blocked the Trump administration from ceasing to pay SNAP benefits that helped feed 42 million Americans during the U.S. government shutdown. The oral ruling by Judge Jack McConnell came a day before the administration was set to cut off the food stamp assistance. A Justice Department lawyer argued during a hearing that the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that's the name of that SNAP, it's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that did not exist anymore. It doesn't exist. Isn't that great? Right now, it doesn't exist. It's withering on the vine. It's been tied off like a tourniquet. It's going to die. It all needs to die. Let these people close their legs and go to work. Mm-hmm. Let these people not let their pants on the ground, Let them go to work. Maybe they have something else to do besides making babies all day. How does that sound? And then making you and I pay for them and be $38 trillion in debt with nothing to show for it. The Justice Department lawyer argued during a hearing that the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program did not exist anymore. So there's nothing to talk about in court. That's true. It's not funded. It doesn't exist. It's not like those military programs that General Flynn was talking about that people are still working on that don't exist. Because there were no congressionally appropriated funds for it as a result of the shutdown. It's over. The lawyer, Tyler Becker, also argued it was the administration's discretion whether to use $6 billion in contingency funds already set aside by Congress to continue ensuring SNAP benefits. McConnell, in his ruling, granting a temporary restraining order to plaintiffs who sued to maintain the benefits. Isn't that great? You actually have these people. Who was it that did the suit? It's a unions and nonprofit groups. Hey, Aaron, what's that? NGOs?
Yeah.
You and I are paying for people to sue Donald Trump. Unwittingly paying, but you and I are paying. Just like we paid for the FDA to sue on Pfizer's behalf to keep their developmental vaccine data sequestered for 75 years. You and I paid for that, by the way. Isn't that great? And this is what all needs to stop. And Trump is the great hope to getting it stopped because he doesn't like it either. Because he's actually a businessman. A separate federal judge, here was the second one, in Massachusetts ruled, they're ruling over us now, the USDA has power to fund SNAP benefits. Judge, again, let's all guess, by this name, let's see, who do you think appointed her? Judge Indira Tawani, who do you think appointed her? Also an Obama appointee, stopped just short of issuing a temporary restraining order and said she will hold a hearing on Monday. Ooh, a hearing on Monday, no later than Monday, November 3rd, 2025. Defendants shall advise the court whether they will authorize at least reduced SNAP benefits for November. Blah, 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 blah. They don't have it. Whether it's this John McConnell pictured or whether it is Indira Tawani, they don't have the power to order Trump to do anything or not do anything. Simple as that. All right, let's go on to the next thing. Red Wave press video. Rep set Aaron side by side that for me. Another effeminate, doofus looking nerd man. Rep Seth Moulton. If you're one of the people like President Trump who took advantage of young girls with Jeffrey Epstein, listen to his assertion. Play it for me.
To freedom with Trump. If you are one of the people like him who took advantage of young girls with Jeffrey Epstein, then we're going to sort of make that go away. I mean, fundamentally, well, Speaker Johnson.
We don't have evidence that he took advantage of young girls with Jeffrey Epstein.
Right. Just common sense be damned.
I'm not saying common sense be damned. I'm saying facts. Let's look at the facts. Is he in the Epstein files?
He's obviously in the Epstein files. And the reason that fundamentally Speaker Johnson has us on vacation is because he does not want to see the newly elected Democratic representative.
Right, but you said he took advantage of young girls. You have absolutely no evidence of that.
I think it's pretty obvious that that's what's
going
on.
You think it's pretty obvious?
I do. And I think it's pretty obvious to the Republicans.
John Lemire, any reporting on this?
Well, we know that he's friends with Epstein. We know the birthday card was in there. I mean, he has not been accused of any wrongdoing.
No.
I mean, I think that's the point you're trying to make. But also, certainly here, that we know that Speaker Johnson has kept the House out of session, in large part, to not seat the woman, the Congresswoman-elect from Arizona, who would provide the decisive votes to release more material. So, yeah, certainly that would be any association with further embarrassment for Trump.
But we don't know also, the book that Virginia Giuffre wrote said he was. She never saw him around there. And I'm not doing his bidding. I'm just saying there's enough things to talk about Donald Trump without talking about what's not been proved.
The bottom line is that his administration, whether they're protecting Trump or whoever else, they protect people who can buy their way to the White House. That's what this administration is all about. And I think that all the rest of America.
All right, so Aaron, I want you to go on one of your internet searches, and I want you to find where Seth Moulton ever complained about Jeffrey Epstein prior to 2025.
Never happened.
So in all the years before this, Seth Moulton has never said a word about Jeffrey Epstein. Not a word. Never wanted the Epstein files released. Aaron, how's the flight log doing?
Still not here.
Still not here. And now that's under John Thune, who could release it, and he chooses not to release it for some unknown reason, protecting Mossad. That's why in the CIA. But I digress. But all Seth Moulton had all of these years in his prior life and his prior political life, and there as a member of the House of Representatives out of course, Massachusetts, leftist moron that he is. And all of this time, he could have said, you know what? Release the Epstein flight log. I mean, the flight log isn't even sequestered. It's not classified. We can all see the flight log. It's not under current investigation. You know why? As Bill Gates said, remember, Aaron? Well, he's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
He's dead. So, I mean, we can look at the flight log, right? And he not one time has Moulton ever called for that. I mean, talk about just simply revealing that you are a political, motivated, politically expedient hack with no conscience and no morals and a repulsive human being. That's what Moulton does here on Scarborough's Morning Joe show. And now that you saw it, Morning Joe, Aaron was talking about this. Right away, Joe's like, there's no evidence that. You know, we all know why, because the reason why I included this in the Trump section of the show was because I wanted to identify his next lawsuit. It was going to be somebody on that panel or MSNBC itself. And Joe Scarborough's like, no, not going to be MSNBC. And it's right, it won't be. It's going to be Seth Moulton. Now, let's all wait for the public apology, because I can guarantee you, unless Trump somehow misses this, which is the only way, that Moulton won't come out and do a public apology and do a reversal. Because Seth Moulton can't afford a George Papadopoulos $16 million ruling against him. So that's why you saw Scarborough multiple times go, evidence of this, and there's not even the one solid witness that is really spoken publicly, Virginia Giuffre, who of course, Aaron, of course, Brett committed suicide.
Yeah.
No interest in suicide after surviving a horrendous traffic crash, fighting for her life after surviving all of that trauma, then commits suicide.
Yeah.
But anyway, and a suspicious traffic crash of that, by the way, but anyway, I digress. But so Scarborough is like, there's no evidence of this whatsoever. And the guy doubles down. Go sue him, Trump. I mean, if anybody out there, somehow you've stumbled upon this podcast and you have any access to the Trump administration, make sure that he sees that video, because I want Seth Moulton put on notice so that he has to humble himself, bend over, and do a public apology so that he doesn't get his rear end suit off. Let's show you the real attitude of Donald Trump here. Donald Trump, True Social Post. This is why I love the man. You're like, Tom, you criticize him. Of course. I mean, here's the thing. I know that all of my friends, to their wives, are criticizing me. It's the way that it is. Okay, I know that it's true. I mean, it's out of it. I do the same to them. Okay, I mean, if they came up and asked me my honest opinion about whatever's going on in their life, I'll tell them. I mean, if I thought Aaron looked horrible, I'd tell him, Aaron, you look horrible today. If he wanted to know, I'm not going to walk up to him and tell him that. But I mean, if he did, which he never looks horrible, I'm just saying, I mean, that would be the way that it is. If Brent put on 47 pounds and he comes up, do I look chubby? I'd say, yeah, you look freaking chubby, dude. You look chubby. Okay, I'd tell him. He's my friend. So I'd tell him, you look chubby.
Brent's
so
a chubster.
He's a chubby. He's put on 47. Like, I'm president 47.
All those zebra cakes.
Yeah, one too many zebra cakes. But anyway, so I love Trump. I do. I love him. I think he's a fantastic president. If he lowers the national debt, he's the best president in the history of the United States with his peace accords and his economic development, his economic investment, closing the border, winning every battle, blah, blah, blah. So this is why I love him, though. Christianity is facing an existential threat. Aaron, can you type in when George Herbert Walker Bush, George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, Obama, Biden, or anybody else ever addressed the persecutions of Christians?
Never.
Okay, and I want to bring this up to everybody. Because you have the Antichrist spirit, Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what God is sovereign overall. God is not, sovereignty is often misdefined and it wrong. And so people can blame God for them not standing in the word and standing in the promises of God. But anyway, so God is sovereign. He is overall. He's overall looking on all, observing all for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 5:21 doesn't control all their goings. All right, so that's the way it is. You have to choose the promises of God, but he's sovereign overall. But the person who runs the earth, what's called the world system, is the Antichrist spirit, the devil, demons. That's who's running the world system. That's why you never follow the world. When the world tells you a man's a woman and a woman's a man, you can abort unborn human beings. Understand that they're operating under the Antichrist spirit, which is the devil, the dragon, beast one, beast two. But anyway, and all people talk about are persecutions of transgenders. They're in one picture. There's not one video of a transgender being persecuted. All we have are transgenders shooting everybody and persecuting everybody, but not one transgender ever being persecuted. Unless you say that it's persecuting them to tell them the truth and they cannot compete in women's athletics. Although none of the females ever try to compete in male athletics. Kind of strange how that works, isn't it? The trans women all stay in women's athletics and the trans men all go try to be in women's athletics. Weird, isn't it? How that works? But anyway, I digress again. So, but the number one, The number one victim, the faith, if you want to, I don't like to use the word religion, but I'll use it anyway for ease of conversation. The number one receiver of persecution for the millennial, since Christianity began 2,000 years ago, is Christians. It's not close. The only people killing Muslims are other Muslims. That's it. And sometimes, yes, the Israelis. But basically, Israel could nuke all of Jordan, Syria, and Gaza, and it wouldn't match what Muslims do to each other every year. They kill each other because it's always Shiite versus Sunni, and it never stops. That's why you don't get yourself involved in their conflicts, and you don't get involved in Slavic conflicts that are never going to end. Russia, Ukraine, never going to end. They've been fighting for centuries, and they're going to continue on. So the people who have actually been killed and martyred the most and persecuted the most is Christians. It's not close. And there's more persecution today than in the days of the New Testament being written. Oh, Tom, that's true, because look how many more people are here. It doesn't even come close. If you go to Nigeria right now, they're wiping out entire churches. That is the way that it is. There was a lot of Israeli/Jewish people behind the slaughter of Armenian Christians by the millions. And the only thing they ever talk about is the Holocaust, which the Holocaust occurred and millions of Jews died. Here's the thing. It doesn't even compare to the Armenian Jewish genocide of 29 million. Anybody know that? Anybody aware of that? I mean, again, it's not a matter of what is history. It's a matter of who writes the history books and what are their political motives. And again, I'm not anti-Israel. I'm pro-Israel. I really am. I'm pro-Israel. They're a democracy, but I just deal with them in an honest way. And I deal with that very fact that they persecute Christians. They do. They do. It's in the Talmud. They do. It's the way that it is. That's what the truth is. I prefer Israelis over Hamas, over Hezbollah. I prefer them over all Islamic countries. I hate the faith of Islam, but not Islamic people. That is the way that it is. But Donald J. Trump, he's the only one. He's the only president to ever show up for the March for Life, too. Only one. All these years, he's the only one that shows up at the March for Life and says that, you know what, that unborn person is a person. Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I am hereby, remember, whether you look at 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, 3 through 8, when we're talking about being the great restraining, now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. But here's how it starts. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. There will come a time where potentially, you will be persecuted or even martyred by people who think they're doing it for God. And that is the Islamic faith. That is my opinion. But anyway. Islamists are responsible for the mass slaughter. Here it is. I mean, Aaron, can you find all the times where the Christians have slaughtered the Muslims?
No.
None. There aren't any. What are we always trying to do with Islamists and Muslims? What are we always trying to do? We're always trying to win them to the faith.
Yep.
We don't slaughter them when they don't convert. We just simply act out Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted. We tell them to repent of their sin. That's it. I am hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern, but that is the least of it. When Christians or any such group is slaughtered like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide, something must be done. I am asking Congressman Riley Moore, together with Chairman Tom Cole and House Appropriations Committee, to immediately look into this matter and report back to me. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. Boom! That's why I love Donald Trump. I love the man. I really do. I'm going to criticize him because that's what you do, and that's what all of our friends do behind our back with our wives. As long as you do it with your wife, confidential, it's not gossip. Like, I mean, I listen. I know in the church, some of my friends, they go home. You know, they're like, man, you know, Tom really shouldn't have done the Herbert the Pervert invitation from the pulpit.
That's such a stupid thing to say.
And you know what? They're right. Okay. I mean, it's true. Okay. I mean, when I'm sitting there talking about 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh and I shrift into Herbert the Pervert. Shouldn't have done that.
Like popsicles?
I love it. I love it.
Come on.
Come on.
When they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the flesh.
The lust of the flesh, big boy.
You should have done it. All right. I know there's a lot of conversation. They got to forgive me anyway. I'm not perfect. Okay. So that's the thing. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't do any of this stuff. The thing is, occasionally, I say some inappropriate things. I do. But, you know, but I will say there's a lot of laughter. There was a lot of laughter. And then people were asking, how does he know about that? Well, of course I know about it. It's actually one of my favorite things that I actually cajole Aaron, because Aaron does the perfect imitation of Herbert the pervert. I cajole him into doing it all the time. But anyway, so that's my relationship with Trump. I love him. But I'm still going to criticize him. Let's go to the next one. Still in the Trump section of the show. I have a lot of sections. There's all the sections. They're represented by the paper clips. It doesn't look good, folks, like me getting even out of the Trump section here.
It's almost 10 already.
Yeah, man, it's 9:53. But anyway, and it's a short show. Short show Friday. Short show Halloween. Brent's got to get to Applebee's tonight.
Steak and Shake.
It doesn't have to be Shake and Shake every time.
It has to be now.
Why is that? Because they support Trump?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, yeah, but
Applebee's
is
out.
No, Applebee's not out. I love Applebee's.
Boneless wings.
So, yeah, boneless buffalo, baby. I can't go Steak and Shake every time. But anyway, so tonight's Applebee's. So we got to get him there for his Halloween celebration. He's going to have to wake his wife up to do it. But other than that, he's going to have to do it. But anyway, so short show Halloween. But anyway, Eric Doherty tweet. Breaking U.S. Senate. In case you missed this, I had this for last night. But in case you missed it, U.S. Senate votes to terminate President Trump's sweeping global tariffs. Now, as Aaron, now let's go with black-pilled red sprinkles Aaron real quick. This is why Aaron will say, aren't you glad we won?
Yeah.
Because remember now, we own the Senate. We have 53 votes in the Senate.
Yep.
Therefore, they shouldn't be able to terminate President Trump's sweeping global tariffs. By the way, it still has to go through the House, and Mike Johnson says it's dead on arrival, so it's not going to happen. I'm just saying, don't we own the House? We have 53 votes. Oh, wait, Republicans have voted to overturn Trump's sweeping tariffs, who have absolutely no problem with us being tariffed, but have a problem with us levying tariffs. Can Rand Paul explain that to me? I love Rand Paul. Again, same sort of relationship. I love the guy. But he's always against tariffs, but has no problem with other countries tariffing us. And he never says about the other population, because what he says about our tariffs is that you and I, the populace, will end up paying for the tariffs. As we tariff BMW, as we tariff the Germans, as we tariff the Spanish, as we tariff incoming goods, Chinese goods, whatever else, those costs will be passed on to us. That's not actually true. That's actually not been true. And prices haven't gone up because of tariffs at all. All they've done is added $800 billion worth of revenue so far in 10 months into our economy. But so it never actually happens. I mean, what Rand Paul says, totally against, and then never says, though, that the tariffs on our goods are paid for by French citizens. That, you know, as they tariff all of our goods coming in, why doesn't he ever make the complaint on behalf of French citizens that they're having to pay for you know, because our prices that we're going to make them pay more for our goods then. They never makes those complaints. They have no problem. Murkowski, Rand Paul, Collins, Murkowski, and Mitch McConnell have no problem with people tariffing us, but call our tariffs anti-democratic. How's that? And by the way, let me just wake up Rand Paul on this. Does he realize that tariffs were how we funded our government? This is a guy who comes up with his penny plan every year, which I love. Does his list of all the wasted government expenditures every year, which I love. But yet is against tariffs, where before 1913, that's how our government was funded. Remember when we were actually, when were we the most prosperous? And we're the most prosperous now. In GDP, like gross domestic product, and our gross income, but there's so much debt and everything else, we're not the most. If you take the culmination of all statistical data, we are not the most prosperous nation on the planet. When we were the most prosperous nation on the planet, basically, just to make it for ease of conversation, 1776 to the horrid year of 1913, everything was paid for not by income tax, where we all look at our paychecks and we go, what the heck is FICA? And somewhere between 20 and 40% of your money is stolen from you by the federal government via income tax, which was institutionalized when? 1913. Along with the FBI, along with the CIA,
yep.
Along with what else was it?
The Fed.
Thank you. I always forget one. The Fed.
Income taxes.
Yeah, I already said income. Right. So they were all right there. Income tax, the Fed, the CIA, FBI, yep. All and pretty much the Global Bank were all established in 1913. And to make sure that it was all... concrete in place, we had a nice little war 4 years later.
Yep.
So that's how it works. But anyway, so why is this? Why would they ever do this? Because they have, well, for Markoski and McConnell and Collins are leftist Democrats. Rand Paul is ignorant, absolutely ignorant on this. He is a brilliant man, but on this, he is ignorant. It's as simple as that. He is an ignorant human being. We do not need income tax. What we need are tariffs, and they aren't passed on to us. Why aren't they passed on to us? Because what happens is if they do pass on the cost, we'll opt for the American good that has the same price tag on it. So they wouldn't dare, and prices haven't gone up. It's as simple as that. Trump has leveled all these tariffs, and not one price has gone up. Prices have, on the whole, gone down. Simple as that. Go next for me, Eric Schmidt video. Immediately after President Trump announced that he was running, 3 days after that, they had no problem with Trump for 2 years. 3 days later, Arctic Frost launches. Play it for me.
3 days after President Trump announced he was running for president, this system was weaponized against him. Jack Smith, who is notorious in prosecutor world as being a Stalin-like, show me the man, I'll show you the crime prosecutor. That's the guy you appoint when you want to get your political opponent. He's a dirtbag. A dirtbag. And I hope he comes before this committee. He's got a lot to answer to. He not only went after President Trump, he went after sitting senators. At the time, I was the chairman of the Republican Attorneys General Association. Ashley Moody was also on the executive board. He came after us. And also hundreds of other people who happen to be Republicans in the United States of America. What else happened? The number two prosecutor in Atlanta, a state prosecution of President Trump, which was ridiculous to begin with, somehow meets with the White House. The number three person at the Department of Justice leaves the number three job at the Department of Justice to go work for Alvin Bragg, a state prosecutor. Why is that? This was an effort to go after political opponents in America like we have never seen before.
Yeah, right after Trump launches, and all these people need to go to federal prison. I'm not going to deep dive into this because that will end the show, and I do want to get to some other things. But as soon as Trump announces, Mar-a-Lago gets raided, Fannie Willis opens up her prosecution, Alvin Bragg opens up his prosecution, Matthew Colangelo, third in charge of the DOJ, is dispatched to New York, become a line prosecutor working for Twinkies Bragg. Jack Smith is illegally appointed, and has his two cases, all of which occurred after Trump announced that he was running for president. If he didn't announce that he was running for president, this never would have happened to him. And all these people, Jack Smith is in big trouble. There are people that if this is actually prosecuted, there may be people like Todd Blanche, maybe even Cash Patel, that need to get out of the way, maybe even Pam Bondi, and we need to get the real tigers in place. The Ken Paxtons and the Andrew Baileys of the world. Get them in place and have them prosecute these people. But anyway, there's a lot of people that need to spend the rest of their lives or significant portions thereof in federal prison. Let's go to the next little portion here on Arctic Frost. Nanley Marie Carasimi video, Arctic Frost. The FBI is developing. There turns out there was a hidden digital compartment to hide Arctic Frost documents. Play for me.
Sean, I want to peel this onion carefully. Look, they put this information, those that weaponized the FBI and prior leadership at DOJ and FBI, they took this information where they subpoenaed 8 sitting United States senators, put it in a lockbox, put that lockbox in a vault, and then put that vault in a cyber place where no one can see or search these files. They're called restricted access and prohibited access. Restricted access means some people get to see it. Prohibited access, you put it in there when you want to hide it from the world, and that takes the authorization of the Attorney General and the Director of the FBI. So not only did they weaponize this law enforcement, but when we got in there, and when I got in as the FBI Director, from my experience as Russiagate, I knew where to look and what rooms to open and what doors to kick down. And that's what we did. We found this information to expose the politicization by Jack Smith and the prior Department of Justice. I mean, just think about it. 8 sitting United States senators, phone records were gathered and subpoenaed through the grand jury process, and it was buried and wormholed with the hope that no one would find it. So we're just scratching the surface here, but accountability is coming. You're darn right I fired those agents. You're darn right I blew up CR-15, the public corruption squad that led the weaponization at the W. Washington field office. We're just warming up, but we are running our investigations to the ground. We are finding every single person involved. We will not leave a single room locked. We will go in through all the prohibited access requirements, and we will find the material and show the American public, like we have done in this FBI, more transformative and transparent than any in the U.S. history, to bring accountability to the American people. And we will work with our partners in Congress, who should be furious at the prior administration's leadership and weaponization and singular politicization of law enforcement. The American public sees what we're doing, Sean, with the statue just right off in the beginning. They see what we're doing here to develop, to unseal the vault and show the world how the deep state actually operated. It's not a Republican fiction. This is what Donald Trump was put in place to do, and I'm honored to be his FBI director to lead this charge. And the men and women at the FBI, we're all in on this.
So if this was an above-board, honest investigation, why is it that you have to create a digital vault to hide all the documents? I mean, if you're, again, if you happen to be a Democrat and you're one of the 594 people that are watching right now, explain that to me. You say that Trump's a 34-time convicted felon and all those different things. Then why does his prosecutors need to create a hidden digital vault that was never meant to be found? Explain that to me. For everyone practicing evil, hates light, does not come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. John 3:20. That's why. Because they are committing crimes. And a lot of these people are pleading the fifth, whether they're Biden administration staffers that were hiding Biden's mental decline, whatever it may be. These people need to go to federal prison. I mean, this was an illegal investigation. It's a conspiracy against rights. And that's why they are hiding their documentation. It's as simple as that. Let's go to the next one. Gateway pundit pick. Speaker Johnson erupts after learning Democrats actually sued the USDA for asking how many illegal aliens are on welfare, again, trying to keep things quiet. Who tries to keep things quiet? Why would you not want the USDA to know how many illegal aliens are on welfare unless you don't want the world to know how many illegal aliens are on welfare because you're lying and saying illegal aliens aren't on welfare? Why would you sue to keep that information quiet? Why would you sue to keep that information suppressed or classified? Why? If you're a Democrat, get on the Rumble chat right now and send me an answer. Why would you explain to me why Democrats are suing the USDA? You always talk about Epstein, right? Then why are Democrats suing judicial systems, judicial jurisdictions to keep the Epstein files classified? Why? Why is that? Can anybody explain that to me? Why are Democrats who are pining for, as you saw that ridiculous, moronic, effeminate man, Moulton, saying that Donald Trump was doing things with girls when he was with Epstein? Again, he says that's why Trump's not released the Epstein files. Can he explain while his party, his NGO-funded Democratic Party law firms, are suing to keep the court information sequestered? Why? I'm just curious. Why would that be? It's all lies. So you have the Democrats who constantly say there aren't any illegals on welfare. Then why are you suing let the USDA get the information? Aren't they going to then find out that there's no illegals on welfare? Why do they always oppose doing forensic audits of election data? I mean, it will back up your win, won't it? Why would you, if it was me, I won the election. I'm like, yeah, go ahead and audit it. I would love for you to do a forensic audit. It'll probably turn up more votes for me. That's how I would think. But no, they know they cheat. And they know they lie about illegals being on welfare. And they know that they're the ones who are involved in Epstein. They're the only ones on the flight logs. Aaron was saying while Cash Patel was talking there on the video, yeah, that's great, but what about the Epstein files? And what happened to the Deep State Museum we were supposed to have? I mean, come on, Cash. Why don't you rise to level? He's got a deer in a headlight, looks like he's been bought. It looks like he's been bought. He's trying to walk a tightrope of not offending the people who have something on him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate it. But because Cash Patel used to be a bulldog, and he's got a different look in his eyes right now. All right, let's go to the next one. Overton video, Elon Musk evokes a powerful Lord of the Rings metaphor to explain to Joe Rogan the chaos Britain is facing from its immigration nightmare. Play it for me.
These like lovely sort of small towns in England, Scotland, Ireland, you know, they've been like sort of living their lives quietly. They're like hobbits, frankly. So it's in fact, J.R.R. Tolkien based the hobbits on people he knew in small town England. Because they were just like lovely people who like to, you know, smoke their pipe and have nice meals and everything's pleasant. The Hobbits in the Shire. Now, the Shire, he was talking about, you know, places like Hertfordshire. Like, the Shire is around in the greater London area, Oxfordshire type of thing. The reason they've been able to enjoy the Shire is because hard men have protected them from the dangers of the world. And but since they have almost no exposure to the dangers of the world, they don't realize that they're there until one day, you know, 1,000 people show up in your village of 500 out of nowhere and start raping the kids. This has now happened God knows how many times in Britain.
And that's not an exaggeration. That's exactly what's happening. That's why we need to thank God every day that Donald Trump is our president. Because can you imagine what the borders would look like right now? And there has been numerous rapes in America. No matter how many times Democrats want to call you a racist, a xenophobe, or whatever else for accusing illegals of the crimes that they've committed against American citizens. Right now, there's the illegal CDL drivers, 62,000 CDLs issued by Gavin Newsom, are slaughtering Americans. I don't know, I can't say every day, but slaughtering a lot of Americans as they drive down the road. Death and destruction always follow the D, the Democratic D. And if we had Kamala Harris as president right now, we'd be experiencing more and more and more of this. But Donald Trump has now shut the border down to zero. Government allowed entries per day. Joe Biden was 15,000 per day at his height. So I want to give you an example of what Elon Musk was talking about. Michael McCarthy video, The Story of Lola. Play for me.
In France, a 12-year-old girl called Lola was lured into an apartment by an Algerian migrant. Lola was ordered to take a shower, where Dabia, the Algerian migrant, sexually assaulted and raped her. She then covered Lola's face with adhesive tape, causing asphyxiation. Lola was found with multiple stab wounds to her neck and body, partial decapitation, and other mutilations. The Algerian migrant folded and tied up Lola's mutilated body, wrote the number 0 and 1 under her feet, stuffed her into a suitcase. She then dumped that suitcase in the building's courtyard, where a homeless man found her. The reason Dabia, the Algerian migrant, did this is because she had a grudge against Lola's mother. She asked Lola's mother for a job as a childminder, and Lola's mother said no. So she did this to Lola. She was sentenced to life imprisonment without parole, the first woman in French history to receive this for raping and murdering a minor under 15 with torture and barbaric acts. Lola's father died 16 months after this happened to Lola. Devastated by grief, the formerly sober father began drinking heavily from morning to night, starting the day Lola's body was found. He separated from his wife Delphine, lost his job, and succumbed to health complications from alcoholism. Family described it as dying by grief. Before his death, he wrote a letter. He said, "My darling, I still don't understand why there was so much cruelty and barbarity towards you. You who were so kind." His ex-wife and Lola's mother said he died of grief. And watch this video. This was at a memorial for that little girl, for Lola. This is what the left did. They destroyed the memorial. That's them screaming Antifa, which is anti-fascist. Can you ever imagine doing the same at a memorial for a 12-year-old girl? They do this simply for the fact that the person who raped and killed this child was a migrant. So how dare you have a memorial? And the media will vilify those on the right. They think it's disgraceful I even talk about stories like this. Disgraceful you have memorials for girls like this. They want it shut down, they want you silenced, and they want you to accept it. This should have never happened to Lola, and it was completely preventable if you were strict with who comes into our countries.
Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Jesus speaking, Matthew 7:6, keep those animals out of the country, those low IQ, inbred Muslims, keep them out of the country. They don't know how to be civil. They follow the Quran. They're trying to, I mean, all of the, basically what you're seeing around the world is a Muslim ordained invasion, and they need to be kept out of our countries. It's as simple as that. Out. Now, I know, you listen, in America, you have the right to be an Islamist if you want to be. You have the freedom of religion, but that doesn't mean we have to import it. All right, there we go. 10-12. Rumble Rant tonight, Jules, 21 hours. $20. Thank you so much, Jules. Nate Dad 1, $20. Thank you so much. USA Abigail, $10. Thank you guys so much. That'll pay for, I'll pay for most of the meal at Applebee's right there. Not necessarily a tip, but most of the meal at Applebee's for Brent tonight. He's going to wake up his wife. Might have time. If he goes home right now and goes all the way back to Applebee's, they'll only be closed for about 10 minutes by the time he gets there. But anyway, I love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Join us at Foundation Church this Sunday. If you want the gospel, which is the promises of God, hellfire, brimstone, the entire gospel of Jesus, unfettered, unfiltered, unchained, join us at Foundation Church. If you live nearby, there's the address right there. Come by and see us. I'll meet you outside afterwards. I shake hands with everybody after the service is over. If not, join us online. Don't go to a weak, watered-down, COVID-caving church. Don't do it. Just join us online. Love you guys. If I don't see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m., I will see you 9 o'clock Monday night. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Stick around for the post game. One last time. God bless you.